Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Interesting topic this morning from my Hematology and Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg. We're going to talk about clinical trials and a lot of things that you may not be aware of that takes place in this area. And joining us this morning from Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg, Dr. Chris Vaughn is here along with Brenda Murray and Tammy Bush. Good morning to all of you.
Good morning, Ted.
Good to have you here. Dr. Vaughn, I always find this so interesting, and I've told you this, and I think we've talked about this on the air before, because we've done shows a little bit talking about clinical trials, but so many people do not understand what goes on in this area, and especially with Hematology Oncology Associates. There's a lot going on as far as clinical trials go.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, we've, been doing about the last 10 years. Clinical trials are always, I think, an important aspect of oncology. We're constantly making advancements in new medications, and only real way to know you're making, you know, these changes and strides are by doing trials and seeing the benefits. We have a wide sort of landscape of trials running from the breast cancer trials, lung cancer trials. We have a molecular kind of panel trial that's kind of a specific based on a mutation, which is a very interesting approach to clinical trials. It's just something we've always wanted to have for our patients here in the community. Not that everyone needs a clinical trial, but it's always a great option for some patients. And so it's important for us. And we continue to always kind of look at what's new and what's changing, because we want to always offer the best therapy for patients here. And so it's an exciting thing to have clinical trials. And it's been sort of a backbone for the last 10 years for HOAF.
And I guess to be able to do clinical trials, you have to have, you and others have to have the training and also the equipment to be able to do that, and also have a staff that can carry it out.
There is a lot of infrastructure to take place. One is you have to have the staff, the coordinators. You have to have a relationship with either cooperative groups, large kind of collections of other facilities, or pharmaceutical companies to have the trust in you. You have to be able to have the laboratory capabilities, which is a big thing for us. Also, actually, you need to have the freezers, the ability to kind of store some of the medications for a long period of time. So there is a lot of investment in infrastructure to run a clinical trial. You have to have the data ability, the analytics capability of following the information. Have to have also our ability to kind of have relationships with other providers in the area for referrals. So it's something we're constantly working on every day, every week, to continue to build these things. But you're right, Ted. There's a lot that goes into it. You don't just all of a sudden just start and say we're going to run a clinical trials.
Right.
You have to build this and plan it over months and years before you can actually, you know, hit the ground running. It takes some time.
I never thought of that. Just something as simple as just freezers and that kind of thing. But just all that you just went through, the behind the scenes things that go on. It's more than just having a doctor that's willing to do it. There's just a lot. You have to have so much there besides the doctor.
Oh, it's for us and Brenda and Tammy can attest to this. But part of the importance of clinical trials is really following not only the results and the improvements, but the side effects, how patients are doing. So it takes so much to run a schedule for a patient through a clinical trial, and having the coordinating ability, and they could speak on that. But it is a lot to do just from a schedule standpoint. And so we rely so much on our coordinators.
Well, let's jump into that with the coordinators, Brendan and Tammy. Tammy, I guess I'll start off with you. First of all, how did you get involved with this?
I was in the infusion area first when I came down. Well, first I decided to be a patient, and then I'm going to the infusion area.
Okay. You decided to be a patient.
She started from the beginning.
That must be interesting, though. Before we get into this other thing, starting off as a patient, I mean, you've mean, I know what it's like to be a patient, but going from patient then to working into the infusion area gives you a whole different perspective. You know what it's like to sit there.
Absolutely, and I think that's helped me be a better nurse for them because I get it. I get the ups and the downs and the, you know, you're angry and then you're sad and then you're, I can fight this and, you know, so I understand those emotions. So I think it's really helped me.
Yeah, boy, I guess.
To understand more.
So how did you get involved in clinical trials?
Well, it's always been kind of on the back of my mind, and knowing that we had it in our business, I worked on the infusion side first, and then, you know, as openings came, you know, an opening happened to come, and I was able to move down to that position. So it's been amazing. It's really an awesome thing to know you could be part of something's, you know, future.
Yeah, yeah. Brenda, how about you?
I have been at HOFE for almost 11 years now, and I started in the infusion area as a nurse, and then I became the charge nurse in the infusion area, and then about 4 years ago, a position opened up in the research department, which I've always had an interest in, and I moved down there at that time, and I've really never regretted it. I love doing what I do.
So how do groups or come to you? Do you apply for these? How the nuts and bolts of how this works, how you get involved with how Hematology Oncology Associates has gotten involved with these? How does that happen?
Well, pharma companies have medical science liaisons that reach out to us. We develop a relationship with them, and we kind of see if they have any trials that are interesting to us, and they kind of evaluate our facility and see if it works both ways. Mm-hmm. And it is a long process to get a clinical trial started, but you have to continually be looking. So right now we have trials open, but we're continually looking for new trials because it takes a long time. So
yeah.
We're always looking at what type of trials we want and trying to develop those relationships and seeing what trials fit our needs and our community's needs the best.
And I guess you also have to have patients that fit, and I'm sure they have to fit pretty closely to what's going on, because everybody, a lot of times people want to be part of a trial,
yes,
but you don't qualify.
Yes. Yeah, we're on a daily basis, we're screening. We're looking at the patients coming into our office. We're looking at them and seeing if they fit any of the criteria for the trials that we have. We're constantly communicating with our physicians. They are aware of all of our trials, so it's a collaboration between us all as a group. And then once we identify somebody that is a candidate for a clinical trial, we're talking with the physician. They're presenting the trial to that patient, and it just kind of moves along from there.
Dr. Vaughn, I guess in all cases, you want to have someone in a trial, or you run into cases where they want to be in a trial and you'll say, I don't think you should, or does that ever happen?
I would say one thing that's always kind of mandatory for clinical trial, someone has to have the medical capabilities of being in a trial. So if someone has a lot of other health issues, mm-hmm. like if their heart function's low or the lungs are pretty bad, you know, that's going to exclude them. So right off from my first visit, I can get an idea from someone's just general well-being if they're appropriate for a clinical trial. I always like to present that option for patients, and I try to. I always like to have a wide kind of list of things we can do, and clinical trials are usually one of them, and present that to them. And I think Brenda mentioned it. What we try to do on a monthly, or at least I guess every 3 months, we try to look at kind of where we are in the community and what needs we have for patients. For instance, there's a lot of lung cancer, a lot of breast cancer in the community. And so we always try to say, well, how, if one trial is closing, what's new? How do we open something else up? So there's a lot of communication, what we do, along with some of our other specialists in the area, to find out, you know, what meets the needs of patients in the Fredericksburg community. But I always try to, part of my first visit with a patient and mm-hmm. their families is if they're appropriate for a trial, I bring that up. Now, not everyone is going to want to do it. Some come in already motivated. They may have heard about a clinical trial. And those are patients that maybe already have that at their top list. We talk more about it. But I always think it's an important thing to bring up for patients that medically are appropriate. That's probably the biggest hurdle up front.
Have you been involved in trials that have been trials years ago and now are considered accepted practice?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why I love it. We just talked the other day. Well, actually, I think one of our lung cancer trials just showed improvement with the immunotherapy. We ran a few patients were on it here.
Yep.
There was a trial that we were involved with about 5 years ago, a breast cancer trial, and I was at our large national conference in Chicago every year, and they presented the trial. It's about 300 patients, and 7 of the patients were ours from Fredericksburg.
Really?
And it was basically a preoperative chemotherapy for HER2 breast cancer, which is now standard of care because of this trial. And it's rewarding. That's why we love it. It's rewarding to see those things and go, gosh, we were doing sort of standard of care, which is now offering it for our patients 5 years ago. And I think we'll see, but we have that same trial going on right now for lung cancer in a similar sense with immune therapy. And hopefully this trial will prove benefits that, 2 years from now, this may be what we're doing across the lines for lung cancer. So that's what's exciting. That is what drives us is what we do now, hopefully 3 years from now, is standard of care.
Yes.
And you just think about it. You just think of how busy you are now with all of these, and as you're able to continue to do more, and how you'll more and more come to you, and it just keeps growing.
Yes, yeah, it is very exciting. And sometimes patients they come with this view that a clinical trial is their last option, and that's just not the case. So we try to really educate them and let them know that it is, first of all, it's voluntary. We try to answer all their questions and make sure that they understand exactly what the treatment will be and what is involved in the clinical trial. And it's just exciting to be a part of that. And they find that exciting too, a lot of them, that they could be doing something that help other people in the future.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. And I also want to just talk, we need to take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk just about how, because you all must have a real close relationship with the people in the trials, and we'll get into that when we come back. Tammy Bush, Brendan Murray, and Dr. Chris Vaughn here this morning from Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg here this morning. We're talking about clinical trials. Really interesting stuff here. Dr. Chris Vaughn, Brendan Murray, and Tammy Bush here this morning talking about it. Brendan, Tammy, as you are, I guess you deal a lot with the families. I mean, I would think the patient, you get to know the patients really well in this, because you're, I'm sure, talking them through a lot of this.
Yes, that's true. We kind of even take them in more so than they would with their normal treatments if they weren't on a clinical trial, because we have to be so specific and know every side effect they're having and have all that documented, that we kind of give them a little more love per se than, that they have our direct numbers to call us at any point in time. We have, very strict treatments that we have to follow. And so, yeah, they have a direct contact to us at any point in time with anything, ailment or support that they might need.
I'm learning a lot of stuff here this morning, because I never thought with a clinical, the documentation would be just crucial.
Yes.
And really everything. I mean, even more so, because I remember when I was in treatment, I'd have things and I was told, this may happen or this. And in a lot of cases, it was pretty close, but if it wasn't, I just figured, well, when I go in in a week or two, we'll talk about it. But this would be, I'm sure you do really want to be specific.
Yes, and then when they're done with that per se treatment, the medication itself, we still have a follow-up with them. Mm. So they're still followed very closely with us, where maybe the physician, it might be every 3 or 6 months, but with the trial, they have to still see us every month. So it's still a very close follow-up until the trial has been completed. So I think a lot of the patients like that comfort.
Yeah.
Because once they're done, they get a little panicky sometimes, thinking, now what?
Yeah.
I like to think of our role as like a navigator. We are navigating them through this process of the clinical trial. And of course, we have to follow the protocol. And it's all about the data, right? So we have to make sure that we dot our I's and cross our T's and that we're following it exactly as the protocol says it should be done. We're with them at every visit that they're at our office. And we're kind of navigating them through this process and making sure we're following what the protocol says we should do. And we do become very close to them, and they depend on us. I think that they like having that little extra bit of love, like Tammy said.
But it's got to be exciting for you to just knowing that, you know, some of these trials could be a huge breakthrough in treatment for some of these
patients
things.
Actually respond really well on them, to know that. I mean, that's exciting for us to see, you know, scans after they've been on the treatment and to know that it's actually going to help.
Brady, you said a couple minutes ago when we were talking about kind of coaching them through this, because I know in my case, if you had come to me and said, we've got this trial, in the back of my mind, I would be thinking, okay, am I on this trial because regular treatment won't work? Is it worse than I'm thinking? And so I know I would think something like that.
And some people do. I like to present it to them in a way that this is just another tool in your toolbox. It's another treatment option that your physician has given you. It's completely voluntary. If you don't participate in the clinical trial, your doctor has talked to you about other treatment options, so that they look at it in a way that it is, that they're making an informed decision. We're giving them all the information, and they can make an informed decision of what's best for them. And I think if you present it in that way, it's just it's another option. And some trials are offered early in for early diagnoses of cancer. So, and some trials are offered that we have are for later or metastatic cancers. So we have trials of all different types at all different places in their journey of cancer. So I think that, you know, that's making sure that they understand and that you're giving them all the information that they can make an informed decision.
And you talked about being that when they have their doctor visits. Like, I'm sure you both work really closely with the doctors.
Yes. Yeah.
Really closely.
Very closely. Yeah. I think sometimes we're always coming
to
them
for the door sometimes. Well, but it is. I mean, speaking from a provider standpoint, Ted, the patients, it's really personalized therapy for these patients, because they really have this relationship with, you know, Brendan and Tammy that's special. They can call them anytime. They get immediate input. I think one of the important things about a clinical trial, when we present it, and you mentioned, we talked about someone's health status going into a trial, but really having the family support, because there is probably more follow-up, and the schedules are probably more tight on a clinical trial. So you really need to have the family support. Patients have to be there for visits that may be a little extra than maybe someone else would be having. So it's important if patients are wanting to trials that everyone is engaged and wanting to do it, because there is a lot of there, which I think a lot of patients do like, because they're actually getting followed a little closer, maybe one would think. So in some sense, it's rewarding to be on a trial, and that's a nice angle for some patients, is to come in and go, gosh, maybe the CAT scans are a little closer, but you're going to be following my cancer much closer too.
Yeah.
So that can be a really an enticing thing for patients to enroll on a trial, and it's hard. They have such a good relationship with the patients. I'm thinking of our breast cancer trial that finished. Like 2 years follow up, and it's almost like the patient's schedule all of a sudden becomes 6 months. It's almost like they're sad to go.
That was me.
That was
me exactly. Yeah. When you said, well, we're at the point now, we're done with Rituxan, and we'll see in 6 months. And I was like, but I could come back. I could come back maybe every other month.
Come back and just get fluids. Just hang out with us.
No, because you just feel like all of a sudden you've been so intense. And all of a sudden, it's just like, okay, go.
I know.
And you're just thinking, but what if it starts coming back?
It's tough. The patients, like, almost they feel like they're so tight. You know, we're following them so closely, but the trial, if you're on a trial, even your follow up is a little closer than regular follow up. Mm-hmm. So we usually follow patients up to, you know, 5 years. You know, from the initial therapy. At least that's what I'm thinking of. But
sometimes
it's
longer.
It's good. Yeah.
Well, and I think that's one of the other thing, Dr. Vaughn, that makes what you do at Hematology Oncology Associates, and again, I can come at it from a firsthand and not just what if. You do, everybody, there's a really a family kind of feel to it, whether you're dealing with, in my case, it was Dawn, my nurse, and infusion. And if my numbers had been a little bit off or I had a tougher week, she'd call me sometimes on the weekend just to say, hey, just checking in, how are you doing? And those kind of things, or you would walk in and even another nurse who wasn't your nurse would know about how it was the last time you were there. And those little things psychologically are so important.
So important. That's something we've always advocated for patients staying, you know, local with us. I think you get that that small town feel, you know. Still offering big city stuff, you know, as trials, but still you have that small town feel where we're available all the time. If you're not feeling well, patients, we actually check on patients pretty regularly, even off trial, you know, just our regular patients. But we communicate often. Our nurses, our medical assistants, you know, from, you know, our as Brendan Tame was saying, from a clinical trial standpoint, they contact patients regularly, even off days, just to check in how they're doing. Just because it's so important to know, we really have to judge any side effects, you know, and making sure they're doing well. Because that's part of a trial, too, is not only knowing how well it's working on the cancer, but is it something that's safe, you know, going forward? So we really have to kind of constantly get feedback from the patient and how they're doing. But that's what's great about our practice, I think, is our connectivity with patients, you know, from a nursing standpoint, medical assistants, from the schedulers. We're just, it's a happy place.
It is. It certainly is. Dr. Chris Vaughn, Brendan Murray, and Tammy Bush here from Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg. Quick break. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:30.
Okay, listen. We got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg in this morning. HOAFFredericksburg.com is the website if you want to find out more. And do they need to be referred, Dr. Vaughn, to get to you, or can they just come in and say, I'd like to talk to you about I'm at?
It can go multiple ways of getting into the office, but we have had patients who have used the website for clinical trials using search engine to find out, you know, I've had a few patients over the years who were moving to the area to be with family.
Okay.
And were recently diagnosed, and they were interested about clinical trials. So I actually looked up, you know, Fredericksburg clinical trials, and, you know, that was directed to our website, and we actually... they were appropriate for a trial. So sometimes it could be through our website referrals. Most of the time, it's through other providers, particularly like our surgeons. We have a lot of breast cancer and lung cancer trials. A lot of times, kind of coordinating either before or after surgery. So it is important. We discuss a lot of our patients at weekly tumor conferences, and we. One of the mandates for like accreditation for hospitals are to ask if trials are appropriate for certain patients. So each of our breast cancer tumor boards and lung cancer tumor boards, we go through if this patient meets the criteria for a trial. Now they may not physically meet it, but just based on criteria, maybe their disease, their stage of disease. We're excited. We're just talking about this earlier. We have a preoperative lung cancer trial that is addressing immunotherapy, which is we see it all over the place on TV all the time. But it's usually used in advanced lung cancer, stage 4 lung cancer. The question is, does it work? If it works well in stage 4, one would think it maybe works better earlier And so we are using it in conjunction with the chemotherapy and the immune therapy before surgery. And we have accrued, we're one of the top five sites in the United States here in Fredericksburg. You know, so
really?
So it's a very exciting news. We've had four patients maybe on it so far. I think they're looking at a total of 435 patients, and so we're one of the top five sites in the United States. It's a global trial, not just a U.S. trial. But
isn't that something?
So we're this is what drives us. It's exciting when hopefully this trial is presented. You know, maybe 18 months from now, and we'll hopefully have 8 or 10 patients out of maybe 430 are here from Fredericksburg. So that's exciting.
Well, it seems to me that it wasn't that long ago when you would hear lung cancer that someone had that, you just felt like, well, they don't have much of a chance. And to have, I mean, I know there've been a lot of strides in treating lung cancer.
Immune therapy has been an amazing addition in the armamentarium for treating lung cancer. Also, we've been able to get into the molecular kind of subtypes of lung cancer, and not all lung cancer is the same. That's, I think, something that's true for really all cancers. It's kind of heterogeneous, even if it's lung cancer. So we're kind of finding out the weakness of each kind of tumor type. I think being able to use our specialists together in a multimodality kind of form of therapy. We're able to do chemotherapy and immune therapy before surgery. If we can shrink it down, get the cancer responding, then one would think that, gosh, that's going to be better in the long run as we follow them after surgery. Because lung cancer, unfortunately, with surgery alone, there's such a high, even at an early stage, a high rate of recurrence, unlike a lot of other cancers. So it's important to have some form of systemic therapy. And hopefully, maybe if you treat it earlier, you know, they're going to be better long-term outcomes. So we're excited to have that opportunity for our patients here.
I think an interesting point to add on to that as well is that the drugs that Dr. Vaughn is talking about, the immunotherapy drugs, these are drugs that we're testing in a different setting, but they're approved in other settings. So a lot of these drugs that we're using in trials are approved drugs in other settings. But now in this trial, we're using it in a different way. So I think that's an interesting point as well.
Yeah. So are you all, Brendan, Tammy, are there some trials that you're involved with right now that are exciting to you that as you follow them along and have patients involved around here?
I'm really excited about our newest one and the time trial that Dr. Vaughn was talking about that's based on your molecular mutations, because I think that's kind of the wave of where the cancer therapies are going to eventually go, because if you can target that mutation, you're going to have a much better outcome, I feel. And I'm more excited about those right now, I think, over everything, because the therapies aren't going to be killing, per se, like the old chemotherapies that are killing all the cells.
Yeah.
You're really directed more at that particular mutation that's driving those cancer cells to grow. So I'm really excited about those new trials coming up.
How about you, Brenda?
I'm excited about that as well. And that trial is a little bit different. So it's a network of clinical trials that these trials are available to us, but we don't necessarily have them open. So they work a little bit differently. They are a patient is tested for their mutations or their biomarkers, and then we target a trial to that specific patient. So we have this whole network of trials that we can see a particular biomarker from the testing, and we can look at these network of trials and say, oh, this trial would work for this patient. And then we open that trial just for that patient. So that works a little bit differently, and that's pretty neat that we can offer that to patients, that a trial that we might not have open, but we can open it quickly for that patient.
Boy, that quickly.
Yeah, in about 2 weeks.
Yeah. That normally they would take 3 to 4 months to open a trial.
Yeah. Well, and the kind of the overarching thing that I've been just waiting to say this is that as we talk about this, this is all happening in Fredericksburg.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's what's really – and I don't know that everyone realizes that, because a lot of times you get – I certainly was. You get diagnosed and then you're told – you know, you ought to go to a bigger place. I mean, you don't want to be treated in Fredericksburg. Well, the things we're talking about here are just you know, you're talking about, you know, top five in the country and just groundbreaking. And Dr. Vaughn talks about being at a conference and, you know, five of the patients were, you know, done here. This is pretty cool stuff. Life-saving stuff.
Yeah, this trial in particular is exciting, and it's what I like about it. It's not you're opening a trial for a specific type of cancer. For instance, not like only breast cancer patients. This is a trial. So, for instance, just to kind of walk through a little bit, let's say a patient had pancreatic cancer. Well, a lot of what I want to know up front, I am sending from a biopsy. If someone gets a biopsy and it shows pancreatic cancer, well, that's not enough anymore. I need to know what's underlying that cancer at a genomic level. And so what we're doing is we're sending that out to find out the genomics of that cancer. And then, now it may not change what we do initially, but what this trial asks, okay, if someone's being treated with pancreatic cancer and they progressed on what is the first line, we have this genomic pathway where they can get this specific treatment that maybe this treatment that we're using may be approved for melanoma, but maybe it's going to work in pancreatic cancer because there's a mutation that we can target. We have a drug for, and so that's what's exciting. We're specifying a mutation for a cancer, not just treating that type of cancer. If that makes sense, so.
Genomic level. I don't know that I've ever heard that word before. What does that mean? I've got a guess, but I'll let you.
Yeah, well, you know, cancer replicates through DNA, and usually for it to grow quickly, there can be a specific mutation that allows it to grow.
Okay.
Or to avoid dying, and we have developed our ability, and part of our success in oncology is medications, but really it's getting at the weaknesses of the cancers and the you know, the genetic ability of finding this information.
Okay.
And so you find out what's wrong with the DNA of that cancer, and they've developed drugs that act on that specific pathway. And that's really where we get better, is that specific pathway. And so it's so exciting. And for some cancers, certain lung cancers, we know that pathway, and it works well. It's now standard of care because of these trials. But some other cancers, for instance, like pancreatic cancer or colon cancer, maybe we haven't gotten there yet, and we're finding these pathways, and we have medicines to work on them. And so that's what the Tempest trial, that's the name of the Tempest trial, is allowing us to do. And it's a broad trial it could be about 15 or 20 different cancer types, but it's looking at the genetic mutation of that cancer. And so it's exciting.
It is, you know, no, it really, really is. Brendan, Tammy, for both of you, Tammy, to be involved in things like this, I mean, do you have to have a lot more? Are you having to have, you know, have like more certifications or going back to school more just to keep up with things?
There's each protocol we have to read. As far as certifications, we try to keep our OCN, which is our oncology nursing, and we do a lot of courses online. Through like the research sites, the protocols are so specific that there's a lot of reading through each of them. It's basically its own little book that you're reading for each sponsor.
Yeah.
So there, you learn a lot on each trial that you open that you didn't know before. That you're like, that's interesting.
I think it helped us both too to have been infusion nurses and we were both familiar with how our office worked. We're both familiar with oncology. So when we came down to the research department, we had that background already. So then we just had to learn research. So it was helpful.
We knew the medications and the side effects of the, you know, our standard medications. So anything new coming in, we're going to probably be looking for a lot of the same types of side effects.
Yeah. Talk about an exciting place to work, though.
It really is.
Yes.
We're very blessed. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it is having a strong nursing background, and I think part of the main thing that patients want to feel is that comfort and connection, and they provide that, you know, and I think maybe having that nursing background, you know, just feeling comfortable, you know, patients coming, Brenda, I feel comfortable, you know, with you, and so having that nursing background is very important because that's a relatability, you know, to the patient level.
And because it's such a scary time. Yes. And all of a sudden, you're being told terms, right, and you're being told different things, and you want to have somebody that's got some confidence and some enthusiasm for what they do and, you know, can walk you through and be realistic.
Yeah, I feel sometimes when we start talking about clinical trials, especially if it's a person who's just been diagnosed, I mean, there's so much information being thrown at them all at one time about their diagnosis. These are your treatment options. And here's this clinical trial. And let me go through this 35-page informed consent, you know, and it's just so much information. So typically what we do when we start talking to them, we, you know, talk about the trial in depth. We have to let them have all the information, but we let them take that home and mull it over for a while and think about it before they, you know, sign an informed consent and decide to be a part of the trial, because it's a lot of information to give them at one time.
Which is why I guess it's good to bring a spouse or somebody along with you, because I can remember where I was sitting, the office I was in, and where you were sitting, Dr. Vaughn. When you all I remember, the last words I remember you saying was, "It's really aggressive. This type of cancer is really aggressive." And then I don't remember anything else. And it was later that my wife said, "Buddy also said,
yeah,
you got it. And there's a way to treat this." And I see this all the time. But I was just, I remember walking out to the car and thinking, you know, it's aggressive.
Oh, you're right. I think we talked about this before. I think there have been studies. I think about a patient in a room will just remember about 30% of what is said. You know, so you really need to have, you know, family support there to hear the rest. And from a clinical trial standpoint, I think that's one of the things we try, and I hope I do as a provider, is, again, it's a personal relationship. Sometimes you don't want to have this like you're just a number, and here's a clinical trial for you. And it's important to offer a clinical trial, but I think they do a great job coming in, just explaining it a little bit more in depth so the patient can have some understanding. Talk about it. We don't say sign up now. Go home. Talk about it. Call us back with questions you don't understand. So they're making an informed decision, but we're not just trying to kind of, you know, rush it through. We want patients, you know, and families to understand it. And so I think that's what's nice, I think, with Brendan and Tammy is patients, I think they're comforted. They know that they have the support of the staff. They see our office. We try to show them everything. That is a family atmosphere, even if you're on a clinical trial, because that word brings about, like you said, this annotation of like, oh my gosh, I'm on a study, I'm sort of ostracized to this part. This part of the office. No, it's not at all. We try to, everyone is together. Even if you're on trial, you have this connection to all of us, and that's part of. If patients are motivated to do a trial, we just want to make sure that they're a part of the, you know, they're part of the regular population too. You know.
Dr. Chris Vaughn is here, Brenda Murray is here, and Tammy Buescher from Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg, HOA Fredericksburg.com is the website. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Did you know Window World is...
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving for daily life, travel, or just having fun. Visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg here this morning. Clinical trials is what we've been talking about. Tammy Bush and Brenda Murray here along with Dr. Chris Vaughn. Before we get out of here, we'll only have a few minutes left. Brenda, you mentioned during the break, it is Nurses Week.
It is Nurses Week, yes.
So we can't let that go by
And it's Oncology Nurses Month as well. So
it has been tough for, I mean, it's been tough for so many in these COVID days, but I know just being over and coming from my recent just my regular visits over with Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg, these have been tough times for nurses and all.
Yes, yeah, I mean, we have with COVID, we have felt it in our office, but we have a wonderful team of nurses at Hematology Oncology Associates, and we have nurses in infusion. We have nurses down in research. And we have a lot of nurses in our office. How many do we have?
A lot.
We have a lot. And it is amazing the teamwork, though, that goes on behind the scenes sometimes, the relationship the nurses have. And they're They're so helpful with each other. You know, some nurses work 4 days, you know,
four 10-hour days.
Some work, you know, 5 days. So there's a lot of hand, you know, you need to communicate a lot with other nurses. And they do a great job. Our nurses are.
They're knowledgeable. They're skillful. They're just a shout out to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely. Though, I mean, I've firsthand had cases where people would stay long hours just because something happened and I had to be there longer. And it was, you were there with the cleaning people and a nurse would stay there and monitor everything.
I think you develop a special relationship with your nurse, especially when you're a cancer patient going through treatments, because you see them so often.
That was the nice thing. I didn't realize that would be the case until the first day. And I was told, I'm going to be with you the whole way. And when you're in cancer treatment, that means a lot to see they have the familiar face. And if for some reason they can't be there, it just changes everything. Everybody's qualified, but it's just you've got a special relationship.
Yes, yeah, because it's unknown. Excuse me, for that patient, they're starting a new treatment. They don't know what to expect, and I think their nurse is just very comforting and kind of guides them through that process.
Yeah. So, thank you to nurses out there for Nursing Week. Thank you for bringing that up. Almost out of time. Again, Dr. Vaughn, the big thing is there are times when you have to send people out of the area, but don't assume that your cancer can't be treated here and that you don't qualify for a clinical trial here.
Exactly. I think we look into that. We address these questions about every 3 months, looking to see if there's a need for our patient community. Are we missing an area in GI cancers? Do we need to bring on a new trial? But most of the time, we have opportunities here locally for, these novel agents that, 2 or 3 years from now will be a part of the standard of care. So I always like having a local oncologist. And if it's something we can't do here, I am the first one to reach out to my colleagues at the University of Virginia or John Hopkins or wherever. So it's not like we don't connect with other tertiary centers. We do all the time. I have strong relationships with a lot of other doctors in academic centers, but I always think it's easier to be treated locally if you can. Your family's here, you feel more comfortable. I try to encourage most of my patients, work. It's been nice. One of the advantages of COVID has been more remote work, so it's been a little bit easier for a lot of patients. But it's always nice to bring up the idea of a clinical trial for patients that potentially could meet the criteria for it.
HOAFredericksburg.com. Dr. Chris Vaughn, Brenda Murray, Tammy Bush, Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg. Thank you all for what you do. And I thank you personally for what you do, obviously, and especially you, Dr. Vaughn, for all the years we've been together. Thank you all, and we'll do this again soon. And thanks for doing for clinical trials. This has been really, really exciting. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, guys. All right.
That is it. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.